When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. It's Jason and Jamie. I think one of the most bizarre things that I've seen in a long time happened over the weekend in San Francisco involving Dave Chappelle and Elon Musk. What happened?
This video made me physically uncomfortable.
Yes.
So Dave was performing in San Francisco to a packed arena. And at the end, he brought up Elon Musk. And this video is like 5 minutes long. Yeah. I was waiting after 20 seconds of like cringing and it just kept going. So he brings Elon on stage and it's a mix of cheers and boos. A lot of boos.
I honestly don't know if I heard how many cheers I heard.
There
may have been some.
There was noise.
Yes. Okay.
So there was noise. And you know what? Dave Chappelle did the impossible because I actually felt bad for Elon Musk. So he's up there and I think you could maybe assume Dave Chappelle had been overserved.
Yeah. He was drinking. It was very end of his set.
Yeah.
And I've seen Chappelle in concert before. He drinks out the whole thing.
So he brings Elon on stage and Elon doesn't really know what to say. He's just like, hey, ooh, and then people are just booing and Dave makes some jokes and he says, it sounds like some of the people you fired are in the arena. But they weren't like fun jokes. The whole thing felt like weirdly mean-spirited and like turning on the crowd. And Elon's just like at one point is like, what do you want me to say?
Chappelle's going to this place, and it happened in SNL as well, where he enjoys it making the audience uncomfortable. I think that he does. And he's obviously a provocateur. One of the most brilliant people. Entertainers in the world, and I think he enjoys his status as somebody who can basically say anything and get away with it. I don't think he got away with this. I don't think it's going to hurt him at all. He's Dave Chappelle, he's still hysterical, but he was, not only was Elon Musk being booed, but then the audience turned on Chappelle.
Yeah, for sure.
And they were booing heartily Dave Chappelle for inviting Elon Musk on stage and then saying some really bizarre things. He said, it sounds like a lot of the people that you fired are here in the audience. He got some chuckles for that. He then said, he starts with make some noise for the richest man in the world. Lots of booze. And I thought that Chappelle was setting this up to sort of go in on Elon Musk, but he never did. He said, all the people booing are clearly in the terrible seats. Basically making it saying like, you're all, not basically. What he was saying is, you're all jealous that Elon Musk is so much richer than you. And your hatred for him is purely based in jealousy. That's what I took from it.
Totally. And it felt, at this point, Dave Chappelle can do whatever he wants. There's nothing that will make people turn on Dave Chappelle. But it's almost like he just doesn't care about his fans. Like, he doesn't. He was there and he was like, you peons can sit here because I feel like doing this. And like, what a yucky note to end a show on. Like,
and it did end the show, yeah.
And people pay a lot of money. They get babysitters. They get rides there. They go and they have an evening and they're excited. And like, what a downer to then be like, all right, let's go home, honey.
I think you're right. Dave Chappelle doesn't really care about his audience. And I don't think he would argue with that.
No,
I think his whole point is I've reached a point of my career where I no longer have to play to crowds anymore. I'm going to get up here and I'm obviously funny and people are going to laugh. People are going to continue to pay hundreds of dollars to come see me. And that's the way it goes. And he comes out the most, well, one of the crazier things he said was he's using the N-word throughout this entire thing. But he says, you guys can boo all you want, but I'm going to have him up here because he bought me a jetpack for Christmas.
Yeah.
So he's basically, and he's not joking. He is being serious.
Yeah.
And he is going at the audience and saying, this is my friend. It's my show. I don't care that you're booing. You're just jealous haters. And he bought me a jetpack for Christmas. So I like him.
But it was odd that he did say all that. That was over the course of four uncomfortable minutes.
Yeah.
But there was no moment that he brought him up and he was like, hey, the controversial figure, but this guy's brilliant. It was just weird. It was like bringing up a prop on stage and like I can't believe I'm saying it, poor Elon, was just like, what are we doing?
Elon Musk had a microphone also, and he had it against his mouth, like waiting for a chance to jump in. And I don't think he's clever in that way.
No.
He's obviously brilliant. Well, he's
also brilliant behind a computer to be a professional troll.
But he had this mic to his mouth looking for something witty to say, but he was embarrassed that he was being booed.
Yeah.
And I think embarrassed by Chappelle being so unapologetic. I think he expected it to be a little back and forth where Chappelle would ask him questions. Uh-uh. And there wasn't. Chappelle was just doing this weird, serious stand-up.
That's just what he does now, though. Yeah. And it's like there were no jokes. It was just
Chappelle
bizarre.
Often does things with no jokes, and his delivery is so funny that you laugh at the delivery.
Yeah.
Like even the SNL thing, it was so weird, and his kind of apologies for Kanye and the whole thing. But his delivery is so funny, you can't help but laugh along. Here, I think because he was drunk, there was no delivery. There was no humor in the delivery at all.
No.
He was just honestly saying, like, you guys are too poor to understand the brilliance of this. And the second to last thing he said is, and I'm going to have to paraphrase it, I didn't write it down. He says, instead of booing, go out and work.
Yeah.
And make it on your own. Because, again, this goes tying things together. He was saying, the reason you're booing is because you're jealous. So instead of booing, go out and work. And maybe there's some truth
to that. No, that's so Kim Kardashian that nobody wants to fucking work anymore. Get up and work. And you're like, okay. Like, what? Beyond bizarre. People are still going to buy the tickets. They're still going to go. But yeah, Dave Chappelle did the impossible. I felt bad for Elon Musk.
And Chappelle's last thing, and it reminds me at the end of a long night of drinking, he was slurring, and I have a terrible problem with slurring.
Oh, same. Well, the problem is I overcorrect, so then I sound like this wonderful linguist that I'm like, hello there, people.
The first thing that goes is my tongue. Uh-huh. It's the worst thing. Uh-huh. I can't handle
it. Well, Andy has this cloud of smoke, and I was like, I know that's bothering Elon. Not around smokers.
For sure. But he says, I wish everyone peace, joy, and feelings of freedom. That's what Chappelle ends with, which is so funny.
Merry Christmas.
Such a drunk thing to say. Like, I love you guys.
I love you guys.
But look, there's no fallout for this. Elon Musk is going to go on being the richest man, although he's almost not the richest man in the world.
Who's behind?
The number two is the owner of the Louis Vuitton, LV. They own like seven different clothing brands. The flagship is Louis Vuitton. The owner of that, he's a European French guy. And he's within a few tens of billions of dollars of Elon Musk. So within a few percentage points of Elon Musk. And then Bezos is third or fourth now.
Bring Bezos on stage. I feel like that would be uncomfortable. That guy's an awkward dork, too.
I think he's less awkward than Elon.
Than Elon?
I don't know.
See, but I think that he's probably more self-aware. Elon doesn't care.
To me, Bezos is less hateable than Elon Musk.
Oh, well, for sure. He's not an evil villain.
Right.
He just has a lot of money. Yeah. He's just living his life with his hot girlfriend.
Right.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. RAKUTEN.
All right, we wanted to go over to Brittany Griner for a second. You know, there's nothing, putting aside the did we get enough for the Merchant of Death questions, which have been, you know, debated ad nauseum, seeing her at home, getting her life back is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's so crazy. I didn't even realize she's only 32.
Yeah.
I don't know how old I thought she was, but sometimes just athletes are timeless.
Yeah.
She's back. She's apparently she had her first workout in, she's still in San Antonio. She got her hair touched up by the Spurs barber.
Because she had done her own gulag cut, where she cut her famous braids off using in the middle of a gulag out there. So she brings it, she goes to a barber and actually gets a decent cut.
Yeah. So that's sweet. And I guess she's having a good time going to lots of different barbecue places. She's been enjoying Cheetos and Reese's are her go-to snacks. But and her wife, Sherelle, put out a big Instagram post thanking everybody from Greg Stanton to Robin Roberts, Jesse Jackson, Gail King, Reverend Al Sharpton. It's just sweet that this could all happen before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. It's an incredible story. Again, putting aside whether we got enough in the trade, it's
yeah,
it's
you can still be happy somebody got their life back.
You can still be happy for her.
And we need to separate that. Yeah.
I think it was an interesting exchange. So the video comes out of the actual exchange. What do you have it up, the gentleman, the man's name, the Merchant of Death's name?
Oh, Victor Bout.
Victor Bout.
With a K.
Right. Victor Bout. So Victor Bout, there's a video of the actual trade at the airport. Mm-hmm. It wasn't quite what you expect from spy movies where they're walking across a bridge with AKs pointed. It was a very cordial transfer, everybody shaking each other's hands. And it's funny, I don't know who released the video that we saw that's out there, but Victor Bout gets off his plane. We see him walking towards the camera. Brittany Griner's walking away. She's a foot taller than everybody else, so it's really easy to see who's who. And Victor Bout does, and comes, and he gives an embrace to somebody who was walking with Brittany Griner. Clearly, that's the Russian envoy who embraces Victor Bout. Then there's somebody else there with Brittany Griner who gives Victor Bout a really sort of fulsome handshake. So clearly, he also knows him. Then Brittany Griner takes a quarter step to shake his hand.
Mm.
And he takes a quarter step to shake Brittany Griner's hand, and the camera cuts out and picks up again where she's being ushered to the car. And there's clearly 3 seconds missing from there. And it's not ambiguous. You know exactly what happened, which is they shook hands.
Yeah.
And it came out that he said, best of luck to you. But it's such an interesting thing. I assume it was the American government. I mean, it may have been the Russian. It was released by the TASS news service, the Russian news service. But I don't know what they put up. But the handshake between them, you know how... Well, anyway, you could tell it's going to happen, the handshake was, and it was cut out. So whoever it was decided to get rid of the footage of them shaking hands. But we now know that they just wished each other luck and went on.
What if they had like a secret handshake?
What if they did? What if she's an operative?
That's what I'm saying. They were like, knuckles pound, bum, explode it. And
then
they were like, take that out.
Homeland. I don't know if you ever watched Homeland with Claire Danes and that
British
guy.
It, but...
The whole thing is that he is taken prisoner during the Gulf War, and he's held for years, and then he's freed in some hostage rescue mission, and it turns out that he had been corrupted, and he was now a spy for the very people that had been...
So like Stockholm Syndrome, but
So that could be Brittany Griner.
So then do you think that they did that to like... It almost seems like to protect Brittany from our people, of everyone going crazy, of like, how dare you shake the hand of...
Which would be totally unfair. She probably had no idea who this individual was. She didn't know that a transfer had been made, all that stuff. But who knows? It's hard to criticize somebody who for wanting to get home after 10 months in a Siberian, well, not Siberian, but Russian prison.
My last thing I just want to talk about. Did you see the Christmas card from King Charles and Queen Consort Camilla?
I did.
Camilla.
Two people who are clearly friends.
Well, I just think that never has a photo more been chosen by the woman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes you get your friend's Christmas cards and your friend, like the guy's eyes will be closed, but she looks great.
Yeah.
I just saw that and I was like, you know what? Even the most powerful man in England can have that happen to him too. I can't get over it.
It's a lovely picture of Camilla. She's looking
straight
to camera.
She looks great and he's like barely in frame. Anyway, happy Christmas.
Yeah. The biggest news for me of the day, I don't know if you all saw this, but United States scientists have apparently discovered through nuclear fission how to create boundless, limitless energy. So putting atoms together, fusing atoms together, releases energy. It has always taken, we've known that forever, but it's always taken more energy to get them to bind than you collect from the outpouring of energy once they're bound. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's always been a net negative energy.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, it has come out that United States scientists at, I forget where it was, have now figured out, now have done it in a very short experiment, gotten more energy produced from fission than it took for energy to create the fission, which would... And we're years away from being in commercial use, but we are on the cusp.
So you would never have to charge something.
You'll have to charge it, but you will have, these aren't going to be in your car, but there will be laboratories, huge power plants that will have giant fission things, machines that are creating fission that are creating boundless amounts of energy. So instead of having to burn fossil fuels to create the energy that comes through your outlet in your home or the outlet that powers your car, it will be done through nuclear fission. This is the holy grail of energy, which has been 200 years in the making of trying to create a nuclear fission reactor that actually produced more energy than it took. And it's on the cover of a lot of the New York Times this morning and others. And it is the biggest thing that has happened probably since the detonation of the atomic bomb. It's a huge thing.
Is Elon shaking in his boots?
I think Elon loves it.
He didn't have a part of it?
Well, he loves it. I don't know about that, but he loves it because the big limiting factor of electric cars is there's not enough power in the grid to power 100 million electric mm-hmm. cars, which is what the futurists want. Now you have literally infinite power out there, once that happens, the entire fuel, coal power, oil power, gas power, all that goes away. We don't need any of that stuff anymore. You just have power plants that are, through nuclear fission, creating more energy than we can use. Limitless energy. It geopolitically, 25 years from now, when this is up and running, geopolitically, the Middle East becomes a non-essential factor for European and American diplomacy. Russia can't cut off Western energy supplies. This is the biggest story in my lifetime, I think.
So what,
if it really happens,
you're saying is Charles and Camilla's photos not on the cover of the New York Times today?
Definitely not.
Are you really missing Derek sitting in the seat today? Just staring at you, bad no, eyelashes.
No, I think it's
no, it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing stuff. Technology, huh?
Wow. All
right. Thanks very much for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Later.
Bye.